Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Gear Priority Podcast. My name is Justin, and today we are diving deep into the Ionosphere sleeping pad from Rab and why people should care about this pad. I've been testing this pad and have been really impressed with the quality and performance in the field, especially as this is the first sleeping pad that Rab has ever made. But I do have some questions about the pad and why Rab thinks backpackers and campers needed the Ionosphere when there are so many other pads out there. I'm joined today by Ben Mannering, a senior designer at Rab. Hello, Ben. How are you? And where are you calling in from?
Hi. Yeah, I'm not bad, thanks. I'm calling in from Derbyshire in the UK.
Nice. And yes, yeah, so we're a big time difference right now. 9 a.m. here and like 4 p.m. over there.
Yeah, just gone 4 p.m. over here, yeah.
Finishing off your day. So you've been with Rab, I think I saw on LinkedIn for 15 years now. What's been your role at Rab, and then where are you now at your position at the company?
So yeah, you're correct. Around 15 years. I started off as an equipment designer. I've always been an equipment designer here, and the company who owns Rab Equip, we used to own several other brands like Podsax and Outdoor Designs and Integral Designs. So I was brought in to work on some of the brands outside of Rab, actually. So designing rucksacks and accessories, and then shelters for Integral Designs. And then I started working on the Rab sleeping bags. And then because of the knowledge I gained from working on the Rab sleeping bags, I was asked to help out with the Rab expedition suit back in summer 15, I think it was. And from the success of that, I moved into a little bit more clothing. So I've been working on the Rab clothing for probably 5 years. And then as the Rab clothing team has grown, I've kind of slid back over onto equipment slightly and started to work back on sleeping bags and the new sleeping pad project.
Oh, nice. And what is your background, like the design, or do you have like an engineering background? How, from an education standpoint?
Yeah, I've got a degree in industrial design, which is basically product design, but also knowing how it works and how it's made. So after graduating, I actually worked on office furniture for a while. But at the time, I was into mountaineering and climbing and walking. So I was always looking for a job in the outdoor industry. And then luckily managed to wangle my way into the job here.
Nice. And that's good. So that's kind of in line with one of the rapid fire questions that we're going to get into now, but I won't spoil that for you. I got four rapid fire questions, quick answers, and just to get to know you a little bit better. What are your two favorite outdoor activities?
I'm very much a cyclist nowadays, so I'm going to have to say mountain biking and road cycling.
Nice.
I'm turned to the dark side. Middle age has taken me to the dark side. Middle aging family.
Yeah, it seems to be the biking transition definitely happens a lot of the time at a certain age, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think, yeah. In the UK, people graduate, as they get older, they seem to graduate to road cycling and fell running and endurance sports, I guess, that still get you outside in the hills and in the mountains, but focused on more endurance than kind of thrills and raw power.
Yeah, makes sense. And what's your favorite product at Rab?
Because I've worked on so many cool products, but I've also owned so many of our cool products over the years. And my current favorite Rab product is the new Cinder Phantom waterproof. It's unbelievably small and packable, and it's what I've used more than anything this winter. It goes everywhere with me because it's as light or lighter than my windproof, but is fully waterproof, so it's cool.
So that's a waterproof jacket?
Yeah, it's part of the new cycling range, the new Cinder cycling range, and it's a waterproof jacket that packs down to probably about this size. I think it weighs around 90 grams, fits in a jersey pocket, and is fully taped and waterproof. It's great piece of kit.
Phenomenal. 90 grams is, I think that's the lightest waterproof jacket that I've ever heard of.
Yeah, we do a, I think the We do a version in our running range, in our Skyline range, which has a half zip. And I think that is might even be sub 90 grams.
I'm going to have to take a look at that. That's interesting.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah, it's got a phantom jacket.
Good to know. And if you could work at any other outdoor brand in the world, which one would it be? Not saying that you don't want to leave Rab, but if Rab just all of a sudden didn't exist, which other brand would you want to work at?
Well, I could probably do this quite politically easy. I'd probably say Arc'teryx, just because I've got so much family out in Canada. So not only would it be a cool career move, but I'd be nearer to some of my extended family.
Yeah, that's a good one. And what new product would you like to see that Rab doesn't make right now that you would be interested in Rab starting to develop or make down the road?
I'd like to see maybe some tents would be a cool thing.
Rab makes alpine mountaineering tents right now. I guess more kind of like the three-season camping backpacking style tents. Is that?
Yeah, at the moment we specialize in single skin tents and bivvies, and it'd be cool to expand into kind of the lightweight tent market because there's some really cool stuff going on there.
Yeah, I think that would I would love to see Rab's take on like a lightweight, like backpacking tent that's less mountaineering focused. I think you guys could do some cool things there, especially considering what we see now with the sleeping pad and entering that. But I think that kind of brings us to talking a little bit more about the sleeping pad. So Rab released an entire line of sleeping pads, but I think I'd like to focus on the Ionosphere sleeping pad today, which is kind of your backpacking weight to warmth ratio focused pad. And I'll just kind of run through some of the specs of the pad for the people at home, just so you can kind of put an idea of what this looks like together in your head. It is the first sleeping pad that Rab has, first sleeping pad line that Rab's made. So we'll get into that, but that's a really cool aspect. I don't think we've seen that in a while. Comes in two different R values with 4.8 or 4.5 R value and seven and several different sizes. Has vertical baffling, is 8 centimeters thick with thicker outer baffles, uses a 20 denier recycled polyester outer shell, and has two different types of insulation technology in it, which is pretty cool and something that we're definitely going to dive into. Has a good two-way valve, and for the size regular, weighs 550 grams and costs $180 for this. Like that's for the size regular 4.8 R value version. Back over to you, Ben. Why has Rab's been around for 40 years, I think now. Why has Rab never made a sleeping pad in the past? And what kind of led you guys to creating a sleeping pad now?
Yeah, good question. As I say, I've been here 15 years, and ever since I've started, there's been talk of sleeping pads and sleeping mats, because it's always been something that's been missing from the range. I think there's a couple of reasons why we've never got around to it until now. And firstly, I think we've always been quite a small design team, and there's always been other cool products to be doing, and we've just not got around to it. So that's kind of one of the reasons. We've always had that desire, and I had kind of half an eye on doing it, but never really had the resource or the time to get down to it. And I think the second reason is we've not wanted to do something until we've got something interesting and something new to bring to the party. There's so many good sleeping mats and pads out there that we didn't just want to bring another Me Too product to the market. We wanted to do something interesting, something exciting, and something Rab.
That's interesting. Yeah, because I think a lot of companies probably get, especially the design teams, probably get pressure to fill out a product line, even if it is, like you said, it's not bringing anything new to the table. There's probably just some pressure for some companies from up top to say, okay, we don't have a sleeping pad, but we need one. So just throw something together so that we have one available. And I see that sometimes where companies just seem to have a product that doesn't really fit in the market or doesn't really compete in any way. And so when you guys started designing the sleeping pad, were there specific things that you saw in the market, like gaps in the market that you saw that you wanted to address and kind of prioritize when designing the Ionosphere?
I guess we looked at our own sleeping bag range and saw the kind of users who we cater for in our sleeping bag range. So we need to be, they're our core customers, and they're the same people we need to be offering our sleeping pads to. So, which is why we ended up with quite a focused core collection to begin with, because we could kind of map those to each of our sleeping bag lines and say, oh, this customer who's buying their first sleeping bag, they're buying a synthetic bag, so they've got a price cap, but also they're wanting something reliable. They're not too concerned about pack size. Hence we did a self-inflating exosphere, self-inflating mat for those people. And then in the middle, we have the Ascend sleeping bag customer who is, perhaps that's the first time they've invested into a really good down bag. So the sleeping mat they would be looking for would be comfortable, but again, dependable. And that sleeping bag might be used, it's more of a campsite mat, which might be occasionally carried. So therefore, we've done a similar sleeping mat for that user, which would be the Stratosphere line. So that's, again, a little bit more durable, but has a better warmth-to-weight ratio, 75D fabrics, and now uses air plus insulation. And then for our top-of-the-range sleeping bags, we've got the Mythics and the Neutrino range, which are more tapered, mummy-style sleeping bags with higher spec fill power down, lighter weight fabrics. And there we've done the Ionosphere range of mats for, with kind of best-in-class warmth-to-weight ratio and lighter fabrics and more packable. So I guess that was one way. Doing a range from scratch allowed us to look at the market with fresh eyes and just do a nice focused set of mats for our key users.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's really pretty neat that you had the sleeping bag lines, and you know who the audience is for each of those sleeping bag lines, and you're able to match that with the pads. That's a smart way to go about it. I think makes a lot of sense, and I think the Ionosphere is definitely a pad that kind of competes at that higher level. I think we'll focus on that today. It's really neat to hear about the other two lines and how they kind of fit into the different audience members that Rav has, and users and use cases. So if people are interested in those, definitely go check those out if you're kind of more of an entry level or a car camper. But when you're designing the Ionosphere, I think you kind of hit it on already with regards to like weight and warmth. Was there anything else that when you're designing, you're like, hey, we really need to make sure to nail these design features?
Yeah. So the users we had in mind for this mat are people who are going to be carrying it, basically. That was the key concern. And people like alpinists or bike packers or through hikers, where they not only want something light, but there's a limit on the size of the kit that they can carry. So it's got to be light, it's got to be packable, but also if they're doing multi-day trips, it's got to be comfortable, because you know if you want to operate day after day, you need to be getting a good night's sleep, so you need to be warm and comfortable. And we didn't want to, so we had kind of four key areas really: comfort, warmth, pack size, and weight. And we didn't want to compromise on any of those areas. That was the focus of this map.
Yeah, and I think you guys incorporated some technologies that we'll get into that definitely helped achieve that. But as far as something interesting that I, with the Rav Ionosphere, I think there's almost three different designs that we see for baffling in different sleeping pads, with like horizontal baffles, like on the Thermarest pads. We have vertical, like kind of dimpled baffles, like on Sea to Summit pads, and then vertical baffles that we see on the Rav Ionosphere, as well as kind of and X-bed pads. What led you guys to go down the road of using vertical baffles instead of the other baffling systems out there?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, when we first started researching the market, we looked into all kinds of different solutions. And the thing we understand from years of working on sleeping bags is box walls, and how You can vary box wall height and the insulation inside to give you different values of warmth. And this is something, so like with sleeping bags, you almost end up with a standardized design of bag, say your Ascent bag or your Neutrino bag, and then you can vary the size of the box wall and the amount of insulation to build your different sleeping bags within the range. And this is what we felt we could apply to sleeping mats, is that we could have almost a standard silhouette that we can then vary the box wall and the insulation inside to give us the different models that we wanted to offer. So that was why we ended up down that kind of vertical chamber route, is what we're most familiar with from other products. We also thought it would save weight over the horizontal chambers because you've got less chamber, rather than having 20 individual chambers, you've just got 5 or 6 long chambers. So we thought we'd save some weight there. And we also liked the way it's allowed us to have the 2 outer chambers slightly larger than the inner ones to keep you centered on the mat. So they were our kind of decision makers, really.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I find vertical baffles to be a lot more comfortable as well than horizontal baffles. That's kind of a personal preference thing, but my arm always falls asleep with horizontal.
Yeah. So I've missed that point as well, actually, from lying on when we were researching and trying out different mats. Laying on a longitudinal baffled mat just feels more comfortable in the human body. The human body's tall and, you know, tall and narrow. So it makes sense for the chambers to run in the same direction.
Yeah. And something, I don't know if you guys read into this as you were doing your research and kind of figuring out the vertical baffles, but something that I found that the dimpled baffle system is very comfortable and relieves pressure points a lot, but it seems like brands are having troubles making the insulation effective within that sort of baffling system. Like there's always gaps where cold air can kind of move around throughout the pad. With the vertical baffle system in the ionosphere and the way the insulation is distributed, are there any kind of gaps around the baffling system, or is it kind of just like a continuous amount of insulation throughout the entire pad? Is that something that you guys came across or need to address?
We do use a consistent insulation throughout the entire mat, yeah. Which is something we played with, trying to vary the insulations and things, but we have ended up with a consistent insulation. But you are right, using a smaller amount of consistent baffles has allowed us to make sure the chambers are all full of insulation with no kind of air gaps at each end and things. So it's a very efficient way of getting insulation to fill the mats.
And I think that kind of brings us into the different insulation types that I'd like to dive into, because I think this is where Rab's really doing something pretty cool and has addressed a couple different problems that I've seen with sleeping pads, but also introduces some technologies that allow the pads to have pretty good warmth to weight ratio. The first one is the tilt technology. So for people who aren't familiar, let's just kind of dive into that, what that acronym means, and what the tilt technology is and how it is incorporated into the pad.
Yeah, so the original acronym came from thermoionic lining technology, and it's where we were using a plasma-coated titanium on the Mythic sleeping bag linings to reflect radiant heat back to the users. Those bags came out around 4 or 5 years ago now. And since then, tilt has become more of a catch-all term for us for all of those heat-reflective technologies. We now use those types of technologies in several different ways. So to begin with, we only use them as a lining directly applied to a fabric. We've since moved on to use it as a scrim, so a polyester, almost like a mesh, which had a breathable mesh, which has an aluminium reflective applied to it. And that's what we're using inside the Solar Eco, the Solar Ultra sleeping bags. And we also use that on the Mythic Ultra jacket which you may have seen in the press and won a few awards and things. And so there are two of the ways we use it. And we've now managed to introduce it as a reflective film, so a solid reflective film inside the sleeping mats.
Wait, is it using aluminum as well for the reflective film that's inside the sleeping pads, or is it a different sort of material?
It's aluminum, yeah. Yeah, it's an aluminum film.
And how does that compare to, like I think a lot of people are familiar with the reflectiveness of Mylar, things that, like, what they see on, like, space blankets or emergency blankets. Is it similar in reflectiveness and everything like that?
Yeah, very, very, very similar, yeah. But we bond this in between, inside the insulation. So I'm not currently seeing this used anywhere else, but yeah, we bond the reflective film in between two layers of insulation inside the ionosphere mats. So it not only acts as a reflective, so it's not only reflecting radiant heat back to user, but it's also acting as a bit of a thermal buffer. So it's actually splitting the air chamber almost into two and making two smaller air chambers, which is also helping to maintain the heat.
Oh, that's interesting. That was going to be one of my follow-up questions, was whether it is creating a separation kind of like within the pad, which would help with convective heat loss and air movement, which I've found, as someone who tosses and turns, to be ends up being a pretty big factor. And I think something that sleeping pad manufacturers kind of ignore a little bit, as far as that that air movement and convective heat loss. And you guys do something interesting with, so we touched on the first piece of insulation technology, the tilt technology, reflective technology. The second one that you guys have is, you call it stratus insulation, which is kind of like a synthetic insulation. Can you run us through how that's used within the pads? I think you guys are doing some cool, unique things with that as well, and how it's incorporated into the overall design.
Yeah. So again, this insulation was originally developed for our sleeping bag line. And we wanted to do 100% recycled polyester insulation. And so we developed this with our sleeping bag vendor. And it's a microfiber, 100% recycled polyester insulation with really, really good warmth to weight ratio. And when we started working on the sleeping mats with a different manufacturer, insulation is used in a different way for sleeping mats. So usually with a sleeping bag, the insulation is, and the same with down or down jackets, you're relying on the insulation to push the walls of the sleeping bag or the jacket. It's got to have its own loft. So you're relying on the insulation or the down to provide its own loft and push those walls away and create those air gaps. And that's what keeps you warm. Whereas with a inflating sleeping mat, you're forcing the air into the mat, and the air is doing its own lofting. And it's the opposite. You've got to fill that space without. It's not actually pushing the walls apart. You've got to fill that space with something. So in a way, the insulation is almost working in reverse, and you're pulling that insulation apart. And so you're not relying on the insulation to be providing a loft. You're relying on the density of the insulation to trap the air. We tested various different insulations, from branded ones to really cheap, and got some really surprising results. Some of the really expensive branded insulations, when used in this way, when they're pulled apart, weren't actually really any use. But we did find that luckily the sleeping bag insulation, which we'd already developed, worked really, really well in that, when used in that manner.
Okay, yeah, that was really. I saw the video that you guys had where you show kind of how the insulation works. So I think you laid it out pretty good. But just to kind of reiterate for people at home to kind of paint a picture, like, so the insulation is attached to the bottom of the sleeping pad and the top of the sleeping pad, and as you inflate the sleeping pad, it kind of spreads and fills up the gap in between the top and the bottom of the sleeping pad. So it completely fills everything.
Yeah. So it's almost like a spider's web structure that when you put the air into the pad, the insulation is is kind of concertinaed and pulled apart and creates a spider's web structure inside the mat, which is then preventing the movement of air within those chambers.
Yeah, it was really interesting. It addressed addresses a problem that I've seen with other pads that use synthetic insulation, where they'll just kind of throw in a sheet of synthetic insulation that is kind of just floating free within the pad. But then it really, if you have any sort of air contact on the sides or the top, then it kind of eliminates the usefulness of that insulation. So filling up the entire pad with the insulation is...
Yeah, I mean, we tested both ways during development, and it makes a huge amount of difference pulling that insulation apart and filling that void. But it does also mean you can only use a certain thickness of insulation. You know, you can't start off with a really thin insulation and then just pull it apart. You just destroy it. So you need to use the correct insulation, the correct depth of insulation, which can withstand being drawn apart and keep its structure.
And the reflective layer it's suspended in the middle of the pad. So you have the synthetic attaching from to the bottom, then to the reflective layer, and then to the top. Is that
correct? So the tilt reflective layer is suspended in between the sandwich of the polyester insulation, between the stratus insulation. So as the stratus insulation expands, the tilt stays kind of floating in the middle of the mat.
I think you kind of get the best of a bunch of different worlds incorporating those two technologies. And I've used the pad out in pretty cold conditions and on cold ground, and it did a very, very good job. I think 4.8 R value, that's getting up there. I think that's going to be good for most people during most seasons, unless they're on very cold, frozen, wet ground. I think it's not until I get into kind of Canadian winter conditions where I need to be hitting something like 7 R value or more. Do you guys, I think we'll get into this later as far as maybe whether you guys have plans for an extreme cold sleeping pad down the road. With the ionosphere, as you guys were designing it, did you encounter any trade-offs that you needed to make with it as far as things that you maybe would have liked to have incorporated or specs you would have liked to see a little bit different, but because you had to have this balance of warmth and weight and comfort, that you had to, any trade-offs that you had to make there?
I guess we've probably taken the technology as warm as it can go, I think. You start hitting a ceiling where I've tested loads of things over the years for temperature testing and things, and these things are never linear. You know, if you get a sleeping bag and you continue to fill it with more and more down, it doesn't get warmer in a linear equation. It doesn't just get warmer and warmer and warmer. And I think we're starting to get towards the limit of that with the insulation that we can do. So we could perhaps add some more insulation in and get a greater R value than we have. But I think we'd start leveling out, and we'd put more insulation in, and it wouldn't get too much warmer. So that's kind of a consideration for the future from where we want to go next.
Yeah, I think you might see like if you doubled the amount of insulation, as far as thickness and density, and adding maybe a reflective layer, you may increase the weight by 100%, but maybe only get 50% more warmth, kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's a tough trade-off, especially when if weight is a consideration. Makes things difficult. It kind of seems like you guys have found the sweet spot as far as just 4.8 seems to be a really good temperature for most people around the world for three seasons. So that's good.
Yeah. We also had a few more tricks up our sleeve to try and get the mats a little bit lighter, but they still not come to fruition quite yet. We didn't manage to get them done in time. So we might see, maybe in the next couple of years, we can do something there to lighten the mats up. We didn't want to launch anything which wasn't, you know, absolutely proven. So, especially when you're new to the market like we are, so it wasn't the right time to be taking chances with durability and things. So, but you know, maybe we can develop that further and lighten them up even further in the future.
Yeah, that'd be neat. I think, I definitely respect the the prioritization of durability, because I've, in the last year, I've had two different pads from other manufacturers fail on me, and it's not a fun experience, especially if it's in an area that's difficult to patch when you're out in the field. So durability is nice. I think maybe with the going back to the vertical baffle nature, did you guys find that to be a relatively durable system? Because I think sometimes with some of the other baffling systems out there and designs, durability can start to become an issue.
Absolutely. From the very first prototype we ever had, we haven't had a single failure from the vertical baffles, because you've got such a big area. I mean, we're working with a very skilled and very knowledgeable manufacturer, but at the same time, you have such a big area of welding continuous that it is a strong way to construct the pads.
And something that I see sometimes out there is the interior laminate. So you guys use a TPU laminate on the inside, which I think is pretty standard across the board. As far as I know, there's attaching a sheet of laminate or like extrusion method. Do you guys use one of those two, or is there a separate method of lamination that you use?
We're laminating. I'm laminating a 20D polyester recycled face onto a TB area.
This question has come up on my YouTube channel, where I've talked about the RAB ionosphere a little bit, as far as just, I think people look at XPED pads with the vertical baffles and things like that. Did you guys consult with XPED at all? I think because they're a European company as well, or have any conversations, or even like you kind of mentioned manufacturing. Is it like the same kind of manufacturer that's then using your technologies to build it?
No, I honestly don't know. I don't think XPED's are the same manufacturer as we are.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they're in an entirely different country to us. But obviously, we're aware of XPED's mats, but there's several other manufacturers like Vaude. They use vertical chambers. And when we started the project, we obviously evaluated lots and lots of different construction techniques. But this was the one, as I said before, from the one we felt most familiar with. So it was the most comfortable kind of construction method for us to go forward with, because we were more familiar with using box walls and this kind of construction. So
that makes sense. I just wanted to bring it up because it is something that the viewers have commented. And I think in North America, the only kind of vertical, like XPED is kind of like the most known vertical baffle company. So I think.
Sure. The other thing which was really annoying as a designer was we, at the time when we started developing the pads, no one else was doing recycled pads. And we're like, right, we're gonna get in there with recycled face fabrics, recycled insulation, you know, like fully recycled construction. And then literally everybody the same year XPED and Nemo have come out with recycled pads at the same time as us. But we absolutely had no idea that we thought, yeah, I guess everybody thinks the same. Well, we'll be the first to market with this, and everybody release them at the same time.
it's interesting how that works. Like, it's like even if there's no like everyone's kind of working in their own silo with it, you could end up in the same place. I see that sometimes with YouTube videos. I'll have an idea, and then I'll release a video, and two other creators release the exact, like almost the exact same video at the exact same time. Somehow we just all had the same idea. That's really interesting about the recycled nature. Maybe we can dive into that a little bit more, as far as, I think, so you mentioned the outer fabric as well as the interior insulation. So a pretty, like a large part of the sleeping pad is made with, is that 100% recycled materials?
The polyester face is 100% recycled, yeah. And the Stratus insulation is 100% recycled polyester as well. Also, the stuff sack is made from the same material, so 100% recycled. And then we've done everything we can to minimize trims and plastic parts. So you'll see the stuff sack has no draw cord, has no cord locks. It just uses the folded flap over the top. And I saw one of the questions you had in the lineup was, why didn't we have a method of fixing the pillow onto a sleeping pad?
Yeah.
Using some kind of bungee or something. And again, that was a conversation we had when we were trying to get rid of extra parts that people always just throw away. And we thought, if we put some kind of strap on that pillow, maybe only 50% of people will use it, and the rest of the people will stick it in a drawer or throw it away. And we made that decision to not include that, the bungee and things, because we thought, if we don't include it, people will find a way around it, and they'll just stick it into the hood of their sleeping bag or something like that. You know, outdoors people will find a way of using something. Whereas if we put it on, half of people will just throw it away or get rid of it. And it's just waste. So as a company, it's something we're working hard on.
I think if I was going to make one suggestion for the pillow, it'd be to add just two little loops like on either side so that people can attach their own bungee if they want to, especially for quilt users like myself that without a hood to stuff it into. I find that's a nice compromise.
Yeah, I've literally got prototypes here in the office with two loops on them.
Nice. Because it looks like a very comfortable pillow. It'd be interesting to. But I have troubles if I have to chase my pillow around around the tent. But as far as I think anything else is with the Ionosphere sleeping pad, they just kind of want to draw attention to as far as something that was kind of interesting during the development process or how things ended up. Maybe anything that was a surprise maybe for you guys as you're designing it. Anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, something which was a surprise was how much difference the tilt reflective made. We obviously, when you're doing research and development, you test with and without things to do comparisons, and it makes a big difference. And whether that's down to the radiant heat loss that it's reflecting, or whether it's down to it being a thermal barrier, who knows? But all we know is that it makes a big difference who wants the pads.
What was do you know what the R value difference was off the top of your head between like the pad they tested with it or without?
I think it's around at least 1 R difference that it made.
Okay. And then how much weight is the reflective layer adding in?
Oh, very small. Probably around 15 grams.
Oh, very small. Wow. Did you ever test it out with two reflective layers suspended in the pad?
We haven't done. Yeah, no, that'd be a pretty tough thing to laminate.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Well, especially if it is that convective heat loss or whatever, however it's working there, I'd be curious to see how that, especially at 15 grams, if it could bump it up another 1 R value or something like that, maybe result in some other way of making the weight a little bit lower. That'd be interesting to see. You kind of hinted a little bit at the future of where Rab is going with sleeping pads, but without giving away any trade secrets, where do you see Rab going with sleeping pads in the future? As far as, are you going to be expanding the line potentially, or kind of mentioned already, maybe trying to decrease the weight or introducing some new technologies? Where are you guys going in the future?
Yeah, I think at the moment the least R value pad we do is 3.5. So we may expand to that end of the market, so lower R values maybe and lighter mats. And I think we'll be working a bit more on perhaps integration between mats and pads. Obviously, we're well known for sleeping bags and we have quite a large sleeping bag line. So I mean, it makes sense to look how we can make them fit each other even better and work together even better.
How would that look as far as any kind of thoughts? Would you like a sleeve or something or just matching the different kinds?
I couldn't possibly divulge.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it's just something interesting for us to look at next, for sure.
There's not a lot of integration, so that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, and whether that's at the lighter end of the scale or the more comfort end of the scale, I think there's opportunities in both areas.
That's neat. And so I guess that kind of wraps up everything that I want to dive into. That was really interesting, especially getting into the different insulation technologies. I think that's really unique technology that you guys are using. I'm not sure I've seen that suspended synthetic insulation, especially with the suspended tilt technology in there. It's really neat and definitely keeps you warm. There's some pads out there where it has an R value in that high fours range that I've tested out where it doesn't perform in the field. So there's some sort of discrepancy between the testing and the infield performance. I think a lot of it does have to do with those smaller gaps in insulation because the R value testing takes an average over an entire area. Whereas I kind of look at the gaps in insulation as like cold highways. So if you do have a gap, it just like tunnels cold air to you really efficiently. So
just out of interest, I mean, in a Canadian winter, what sort of R value mats are you using then?
Normally it's, so anything, if the ground's frozen and kind of wet. So even I was out this weekend and there wasn't snow on the ground, but the ground was frozen and slightly wet, which was really sucking like a lot of, it was a huge heat sink. And I was cold with a sleeping pad with an R value of 4.9. So I probably would have needed, and I had a friend that was with me, he had an R value, a pad with an R value of 7.1, and he was toasty warm. So in the spring conditions with frozen ground, even though the temperatures might only be about -6 degrees Celsius, then bringing the -7 or the 7 R value, and same with like the dead of winter when it's like -30 degrees Celsius and I'm sleeping on snow, then 7 R value is kind of the minimum for me. And then sometimes I'll even throw like a mat, like a full mat underneath just to bump that up to 8, 9.
That's really interesting.
But it kind of depends on the season, like this, like, but then maybe it's -6 in the fall and I can get away with something in the 3.5 to 4.5 range because the ground is still warm. It's holding on to a lot of heat from during the day, isn't frozen. So that's where I'm always telling people, my audience and people that the air temperature isn't as important. It's more what the ground is like, because spring or fall for me, even if it's around freezing, I can get away with drastically different sleeping pads. But that 7 seems to be the magic number for winter.
Yeah. And what's your normal sleep system? Do you use sleeping bags or quilts?
In the winter, I'm using a sleeping bag, like a -30 sleeping bag, and then 7 R value sleeping pad. And then in the summertime, I'm using quilts pretty much 100%. I just find them really comfortable for tossing and turning. And I think if a sleeping bag without a hood, I'd probably be able to toss and turn a little bit better. The problem I run into is I'll kind of move within the sleeping bag and then my face will get like within the hood and end up with a whole bunch of issues, get all tangled up. So the quilts are lighter as well. So that's my go-to, and then different temperatures depending on the time of year. I really appreciate you coming on, and good to know about the pillow, that the pillow might be coming with some little loops down the road potentially for adding some shock cord. I'd be very keen for that. And if people want to check out the Rab sleeping pad, I'll have some links in the show notes or the description, so you guys can go check that out. Any final words before we sign off here, Ben?
No, it's been great to speak to you.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, Justin.